Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It should be an obvious thing to say. The grace of God in Jesus Christ is the greatest thing on earth. All your blessings here are from God. Clothing, shoes, food, drink, house, home, spouse, children. Your reason and your senses and your faculties are gifts from God. Your health and your happiness. All these things are good gifts coming down from the Father of lights. But the greatest possession on earth is the gospel. The greatest thing on earth is the good news that God has already prepared everything for the salvation of his people. In Isaiah, the book of the Old Testament, sometimes referred to as the fifth gospel because it so clearly proclaims the coming of Jesus, Isaiah announces an invitation from God. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Buy without money and without price. Here you have a clear doctrine of the gospel. Justification by grace through faith. I'll say it again for confirmation students. The central doctrine of the gospel is justification by grace through faith and faith alone. Faith in Jesus Christ. This means that God gives us our salvation without price. We buy it, but we don't buy it. We don't pay for it. We don't earn it. He prepared it in the sending of his Son, and he has invited all people to come and celebrate the good news. Flash forward some 700 years after Isaiah, and this invitation is sent out in the words of Jesus and figured by him in the parable we hear today. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. What begins in tragedy ends in comedy. Jesus' cross was his joy, just as a mother's birth pains accomplish life in the end. Jesus mounted the cross and conquered sin and death and hell for us. He rose from the dead, ascended on high, and now governs all things. Every nook and every cranny and every corner of the universe is his, but especially the hearts and the minds of those who accept the invitation to celebrate and with sincerity believe his victory. The gospel lesson is Jesus himself putting the victory celebration into a parable. The victory is a wedding feast, and the invitations are sent out to celebrate it. It doesn't need to be accomplished, or at least not to be accomplished by us. We celebrate what he has packaged and delivered, made ready. But in the parable, Jesus, along with the invitation, stresses how that invitation is received. It is received by some with indifference, sometimes with hostility, even violence, and other times with hypocrisy. Prophets in the Old Testament send out the invitation. Most people ignored it, returned to their idolatry, and they suffered for it. Even so, the invitation was made, and some even killed the prophets for it. Later, the Savior himself came in the flesh, his apostles to follow him, proclaiming the victory and inviting the world to rejoice and to celebrate. Instead, he was treated shamefully, as were his servants, and some even killed him. And today, people are invited to his church to celebrate. All people are invited, and many who thought they were outside the reach of God's grace and his favor come to the feast to be satisfied in the righteousness of God and the victory of his Son. The divine service is God's feast of celebration for the victory of his Son and the marriage of his Son to the church. And some regard it with indifference and treat the cares of this world as more important. It's still true. It's true some still regard it with hostility, as though the news that God brings heaven to earth at every altar that celebrates the Lord's Supper is offensive. That's fighting words. But Christ's sheep hear his voice. You know your Savior. Those who believe, come. Those who come, receive. And those who receive, depart in peace, satisfied. But Jesus tells of a man who was invited, and we're told, even the good and the bad come. Jesus tells of a man who comes to the wedding feast and is found there without a wedding garment. Some who come to church without true repentance and faith. Why would anyone come to church insincerely? Why would anyone take time out of their day or week to celebrate a wedding they don't care about or see value in, let alone count it as the greatest news in the world? Why would someone show up to the wedding feast not dressed for the wedding? Jesus doesn't say why the man went without the garment. The master simply asks, how did he get in without it? The man attending the feast without the wedding garment is a hypocrite. He's the one who attends the Lord's Supper without true repentance. A hypocrite does not belong at the wedding feast. Now, true repentance needs to be set straight. True repentance is not feeling really, really, really sorry. It's not never making the same mistake twice. True repentance is the heartfelt belief that the most important thing in the world is to have your sins forgiven by Jesus Christ and to receive his Holy Spirit to do better. And someone who makes a practice of sinning, whether shamelessly or in ignorance, someone who embraces their sin instead of their baptism, while attempting to attend the Lord's table, shows up at the feast without a garment. So, Jesus' parable culminates in what we call excommunication, which is a doctrine of the church. That is, excommunication, a removal from the communion of his church. And by implication, a removal from being in the safety of his grace and being relegated to the misery of God's wrath. The Catechism teaches that the office of the keys is that special authority that Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of those who repent and to withhold forgiveness from those who refuse to repent. Jesus says to his apostles, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And the king says, bind the man, hand and foot, and send him into the outer darkness. Next week, we will confirm in the doctrines of the Christian faith two of our young members. Before they are admitted to the sacrament of the altar, confirmation instruction and examination are given so that we may ensure that they are wearing a wedding garment, the one they were given in their baptism, before they come to the feast. Confirmation is the church's acknowledgement that we have received, that they have received their wedding garment, the teachings of Christ with a sincere intention to keep them and to repent when and where they don't. But such confirmation is not only for youth, it's for adults and for all people. All people are expected to wear the wedding garment of repentance. That is a renouncing of their sin along with the acceptance of their Savior. Article 25 of our church's confession, the Augsburg Confession, says that Holy Communion is for those who have first been examined and absolved by the church. This is a confirmation that they have put on Christ by making use of their baptism. But make no mistake, it is Christ who the confirmed wear. It's not their own good intentions, their own times, treasures, and talents. It's not their own skills and services, their own good works, even if they are good. It is only Christ whom they wear. Christ alone is the Lamb whose marriage feast we celebrate. And since we live by faith, and since our faith is so assaulted and ravaged by the lures and addictions and attractions and false gospels of this world every day, we must strain our hearts to see this victory oftentimes. This is often when the pressures of life jump the queue in our priorities over life eternal. But this faith by which we believe is not our own. It is a gift from God. He gives it. He sustains it. He's always ready to forgive and to give the good things we ask for. And if parents who are evil do not neglect to give good gifts to their children, how much more can we expect our Heavenly Father to give His Spirit to those who ask for Him? Any moment of anxiety, frustration, or fear in this life, we have this reset button. We always have good news to celebrate. All has been accomplished. The victory has been won. It is now our joy to celebrate with God and His people the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, alongside invisible angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven, as we partake in the divine life of His only begotten Son. This is the invitation. Come and see. All is ready. All is prepared. All who are anxious and are heavy laden, drop what you're doing, your worldly distractions, your empty and carnal concerns, and come. Come to the wedding feast. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.